Module 8, Critical Care for Turtles. The goals for Module 8 are to know where and how to give injections and perform venipuncture, to understand how to administer fluid therapy in turtles, to be able to describe common drugs for analgesia in turtles and compare to what you have in your clinic, and to know how to perform tube feeding and administer oral medications, and to be able to assess viral turtles and give eye drops. Injections. As chelonians have a slow metabolism and oral administration of drugs can pose a challenge, most medications are given via injection. It is recommended to only inject medications into the cranial half of a turtle's body, unless dangerous in species such as snapping turtles, due to the renal portal system and its possible first-pass effect on drug absorption. Intramuscular injections. Intramuscular or IM injections are given in the brachial or pectoral muscles. Insert the needle at a 45 to 90 degree angle directly in between scales on the forearm and aspirate to ensure that you get negative pressure before injecting. The tail of snapping turtles can be used for intramuscular injections. Subcutaneous injections. Subcutaneous or SQ injections are given under loose skin proximal to the forearms in the space next to the neck. Insert the needle and aspirate before injecting. This is also where subcutaneous fluids are given. Intravenous injections. Intravenous or IV injections are more challenging to administer due to the small size and lack of visualization of reptile vessels. Typically, IV injections include anesthetics, some analgesics, and euthanasia solutions. The subcarapacial sinus. Insert the needle on midline into the skin dorsal to the neck at the junction of the skin and carapace. Direct the needle dorsally while creating a vacuum with the needle until blood is aspirated, then inject. Dorsal coccygeal vein. Recommended for snapping turtles where cranial locations are inaccessible. Insert the needle at a 45 to 90 degree angle in between the scales on the dorsal midline of the tail. Direct towards the coccygeal vertebrae and, once hit, aspirate with the needle and continue to hold suction while slowly backing the needle out until blood is aspirated, then inject. Postoccipital sinus. Only recommended for euthanasias due to pain and proximity to the spinal cord. Insert the needle in the dorsal midline skin of the neck with a 90 degree angle, just caudal to the occipital process. In freshwater turtles, flex the neck to insert the needle caudal and ventral to their longer occipital processes and direct towards the tip of the nose. Pull back on the syringe and inject once blood is aspirated. Venipuncture. Collecting blood in chelonians is a good skill to have for acquiring diagnostics such as the PCV total solids, lactate, and blood glucose. A blood smear may also be beneficial when making treatment decisions. It is important to keep in mind that the lymphatic system may contaminate your blood collection due to the proximity of lymphatic vessels to the blood vessels. Turtles lack lymph nodes. It may also be beneficial to heparinize the syringe to avoid clotting due to the slow bleeding seen in many chelonians. However, there are risks including sample dilution and possible injection into the turtle, so we recommend expelling as much heparin as possible. It is important not to use collection tubes containing EDTA, as it lyses reptile erythrocytes. Common sites for chelonian venipuncture are described below. Subcarapacial sinus. Insert the needle on midline into the skin dorsal to the neck at the junction of the skin and carapace. Direct the needle dorsally while creating a vacuum with the needle until blood is aspirated. Jugular vein. Extend the neck of the turtle and insert your needle superficially parallel to the dorsal edge of the tympanic membrane. In some species, palpation or visualization of the jugular vein may be possible, but in others, it may be hard to find. This site is recommended due to the lack of lymph contamination. Brachial vein. Extend the forearm and insert your needle into the groove in between the elbow joint and the prominent tendon. Advance the needle as far in as the joint and apply vacuum while slowly withdrawing until you get a flash of blood. Femoral vein. This can be done with the turtle in dorsal or sternal recumbency. Extend the hind limb and insert your needle into the groove between the knee joint and the prominent tendon. Advance the needle as far in as the joint and apply a vacuum while slowly withdrawing until you get blood. Dorsal coccygeal vein. This is recommended for snapping turtles where cranial locations are inaccessible. Insert the needle at a 45 to 90 degree angle in between the scales on the dorsal midline of the tail. Direct towards the coccygeal vertebrae and, once hit, aspirate with the needle and continue to hold suction while slowly blocking the needle out until aspirated. Dorsal coccygeal vein. Recommended for snapping turtles where cranial locations are inaccessible. Insert the needle at a 45 to 90 degree angle in between the scales on the dorsal midline of the tail. Direct towards the coccygeal vertebrae and, once hit, aspirate with the needle and continue to hold suction while slowly backing the needle out until blood is aspirated. Fluid therapy in turtles. Assess hydration by checking for sunken eyes, tinting of skin, dry mucous membranes, or thick, ropey oral mucus. The most common types of dehydration in turtles are isotonic dehydration, which generally occurs as a result of hemorrhage and short-term anorexia, or hypotonic dehydration, which happens after prolonged anorexia. To treat these, we typically use lactated ringer solution, or LRS. In chelonians, hydration fluid therapy is generally 2-3% of body weight, or 20 to 30 mL per kg per day for maintenance. This can be established based on the degree of dehydration, while keeping in mind that anemia or hypoproteinemia due to overhydration is a possibility. Also, consider fluid therapy in dry docked or post-anesthetic turtles. Administration of fluid therapy and TRT is typically given subcutaneously in the inguinal area or in the loose skin in front of the limbs. Analgesia. Analgesia is a key component of managing critical chelonian cases, as morbidity and mortality have been shown to increase without proper pain management. Some turtles with severe pain may become lethargic or even depressed, and sometimes they will close their eyes. Other turtles will show no signs of pain at all, or pain can be hidden by the stress of hospitalization. Anorexia can be a sign of pain in turtles, but they will often refuse to eat in captivity whether they are in pain or not, so this is not a consistent indicator of pain. We discussed the analgesics we commonly use in the turtle rescue team in the anesthesia and analgesia module. As most small animal clinics do not carry these drugs, there are also other options described in Carpenter's Exotic Animal Formulary and other literature that we have included here. It is important to remember that there is a lack of knowledge regarding analgesia in reptiles, especially involving the efficacy between different species. Please see the website for a table listing drugs for analgesia that are commonly used in turtles along with suggested doses. Administering oral medications and tube feeding. Oral medications are indicated in turtles based on drug availability, labeled use of certain drugs, and most commonly when giving cod liver oil to supplement vitamin A. As hypervitaminosis A can be iatrogenically induced when giving injectable vitamin A, oral cod liver oil can be a safer alternative. Turtles with hypovitaminosis A frequently present with swollen eyes, a nasal discharge, tympanic or aural abscesses, and, in advanced cases, respiratory distress. There is some evidence that environmental organochlorine toxicity inhibits vitamin A metabolism in wild box turtles and contributes to aural abscesses and upper respiratory disease. Oral medication can be dabbed onto food or injected into an enticing treat, such as a mealworm, if the turtle has a good appetite. It can also be administered via syringe or feeding cannula. However, this can prove difficult in turtles when they retract their head and obscure their oral cavity. Tube feeding. Tube feeding may be indicated if a turtle has injuries that prevent it from eating on its own, or it has been anorexic for an extended period of time and it needs nutrition to heal its injuries. It is important to keep in mind that turtles can remain anorexic for weeks to months in the wild, especially during the winter months when they would normally be brumating. Enticing them with a variety of novel foods such as berries, worms, boiled chicken, commercial turtle diets, or hard-boiled eggs can also kickstart their appetite in order to transition them to a more balanced diet. Tube feeding can be done up to every 48 to 72 hours, but we will also do it as rarely as once a month for turtles that are being rehabbed over the winter if they are not wanting to eat on their own. We use a commercially available reptile critical care formula in which you mix powder with water or an electrolyte solution in a 1-to-3 ratio. It is labeled for use at 20 to 30 mils per kg per feeding, but often we will only give 10 to 20 mils per kg to avoid regurgitation. It is possible to tube feed foods such as crushed reptile pellets and water, dog food, and electrolyte solutions to aid in supplementing nutrition to injured reptiles. However, the turtle rescue team does not employ these diets, so we have no knowledge of their effectiveness. If the turtle will need to be tube fed frequently or is hard to handle for feedings, an esophagostomy tube may be placed. See additional resources for the procedure. This should be closely monitored and flushed with water after each feeding. It is also important to consider the risks of sedation and a more invasive procedure when considering this option. Tube feeding can also be done on a session-by-session basis via the oral cavity if the turtle is amicable to it. To do this, an appropriately sized red rubber tube should be flushed with the liquid diet and inserted about 1/3 of the length down their shell to the level of their stomach. It is important to avoid the glottis rostrally to the turtle's esophagus. Once the tube is inserted all of the way into the turtle's stomach, the liquid diet can be slowly given through the red rubber tube while monitoring for any backflow or regurgitation. After the desired volume is administered, the tube can be flushed with water, kinked to avoid pulling the material up through the esophagus, and removed. We then place the turtle with its caudal side down for about 10 minutes after feeding to help avoid regurgitation. Assessing viral turtles. We see many turtles that have symptoms of infectious diseases, particularly viral diseases, that can have a high mortality rate. The transmission of these viruses is unclear, so we also want to prevent the spread of pathogens to other healthy animals, as well as to keep in mind environmental conditions that can increase morbidity, such as a low temperature. It is important to identify common viruses by their symptoms in order to isolate and treat the patient appropriately. We will occasionally identify viruses in our patients by PCR panels, but will most often treat them symptomatically. Herpes virus. Chelonians are the most common reptile to be affected by herpes virus, and we suspect species such as the eastern box turtle often present to us symptomatic for this virus. Terrapin, herpes virus 1 and 2. Symptoms can include lethargy, anorexia, rhinitis, conjunctivitis, stomatitis, glossitis, and subcutaneous edema. Eastern box turtles may also develop pneumonia, gastritis, enterocolitis, splenic vasculitis, hepatitis, and interstitial nephritis. Oropharyngeal swabs, pharyngeal and nasal mucosa samples can be submitted for PCR identification. As with other species, herpes virus can remain as a latent infection, with sea turtles being studied as lifelong carriers. Rhinovirus. Iridoviruses such as rhinovirus have been an increasing concern in reptiles and can be transmitted by direct contact, contaminated water or soil, or possibly even mosquitoes. It is also concerning as strains infecting turtles are not enveloped as with other strains, making them resistant to organic disinfectants and stable in more environmental conditions. Symptoms include lethargy, anorexia, nasal discharge, conjunctivitis, severe subcutaneous cervical edema, and ulcerative stomatitis. Turtles can also develop hepatitis, enteritis, and pneumonia. Mortality has been shown to increase at lower temperatures, so as with other infections and ectotherms, maintaining a proper temperature is important. Oral swabs, cloacal swabs, and blood can be submitted for PCR identification, as well as the yellow plaques that we commonly see in the oral pharynx. Less common viruses affecting chelonians. Several other viruses that have been rarely reported in chelonians are listed with their symptoms below. Adenovirus, systemic disease, hepatic necrosis, and necrotizing enterocolitis. Rheoviridae, stomatitis. Paramyxoviridae, pneumonia and dermatitis. Picornaviridae, softening of the carapace, stomatitis, rhinitis, conjunctivitis, ascites, tubular vacuolization in the kidneys. Treatment. Treatment for viral infections in turtles consists of supportive care, including fluids, husbandry, including proper temperature and humidity, supplemental feeding, and symptomatic care. Debilitated turtles are prone to upper respiratory disease and secondary bacterial infections such as mycoplasmosis, so it is important to administer antimicrobials as necessary. An extremely common symptom in our turtles with upper respiratory disease is bilateral conjunctivitis, which we will treat with an ocular antibiotic, ciprofloxacin, and an ocular NSAID, diclofenac. To administer eye drops to turtles with extremely swollen eyes, a cotton-tipped applicator may be used to gently open the eye. Multiple people may be needed to handle for treatment. Please see the website for the additional resources associated with this module. The key concepts for Module 8 are: most medications are given to turtles by injection, including intramuscular, intravenous, and subcutaneous administration. Venipuncture in chelonians can be difficult and may be lymph contaminated. Fluid therapy is important for maintaining an adequate plane of hydration. Oral medications and nutrition can be delivered via feeding needles or esophagostomy tubes. Turtles can contract a variety of viruses, most of which cause upper respiratory signs. This is the end of Module 8.